Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. That's the reason I broadcast from my basement out here in Elbert County, Colorado. I'm a father of five. And, okay, I'm going to admit it, we drink raw milk out here. It's non-pasteurized stuff. It's the only stuff I can drink, Dave. I mean, prior to this, I had all kinds of stomach issues with the store-bought milk. Now, no problem at all. I get milk straight from the udder, more or less.
This is the first I've heard of this. You really drink raw milk?
Yeah.
It's the first I've heard of this.
Is that
right? You know the Buhners drink raw milk, but we get it right out of the goat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Straight from the udder, through the T-shirt and all that. You do some filtering.
Well, yeah, it's paper filter. We don't use my T-shirts because they wouldn't be that sanitary.
Right, okay. I'm not supposed to say where I get it because, you know, I don't care if I get arrested and tortured. I'm not going to give it away. You know, I'm not going to tell them that I get it from Bessie the cow. Actually, that's a pseudonym. I'm not going to give the real name of the cow.
The name of the cow will be protected.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Is it in some kind of cow witness relocation program or something?
Yeah, I can't get into that on the air.
You know, it's even more alarming is that when my children were little, they drank unpasteurized milk straight from mom's udder.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Without any pasteurization at all.
No government regulations whatsoever.
Incredible. Well, and the reason we're talking about this, my friends, is because government regulation is creeping everywhere. And, Dave, of course, this is inevitable when the take of government from our money is increasing from, you know, what, 5, 10% in 1913 to, well, roughly 50% now and going towards 75%, I would say, in the next 10 to 15 years. Government is a huge part of our lives, something that was not the case in millenniums prior to this. Folks, you are living in a time where government is a part of every possible aspect of your life. This is new to civilization, and it's called tyranny. It's called socialism, Marxism, what have you. But the same kind of thing is happening all over in all areas of life where you see government agencies regulating what we eat, what we drink, how we breathe, how many carbon credits we get, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And on April 25th, 2008, in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Mark Nolt, a Wenger Mennonite, this is a horse and buggy guy, was threatened for months with arrest for selling raw milk without a permit, and he was finally removed from his property by state troopers. Jonas Stoltzfus, a friend, fellow farmer, and Church of the Brethren, was asked by Mr. Nolt to speak for him instead of the raid yesterday. Quote, six state troopers and a man with the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture trespassed onto his property and stole $20,000 to $25,000 of his product and equipment. Mr. Stoltzfus explained that Mr. Nolt did not have a permit because he chose to turn his permit back in because it did not cover all the products he was selling. He thought it would be dishonest selling stuff that was not covered by the permit. He was a man of great integrity. According to the reports from the neighbors and the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, several officials of the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture participated in the raid. And while Mark was being transported by police car to the courthouse, PDA officials confiscated $20,000 to $25,000 worth of dairy products and production equipment. Neighbors reported that the farm had been closed and that a large group of officials had gathered with videos prohibited. Mr. Nolt was told that people had gotten sick from eating his food, but no one ever came forward and no proof was offered. This is a secret police raid. Jonas Stoltzfus said, complete with state troopers, raiding a hardworking farmer selling milk to friends and his consumers are his friends. This case is similar to that involving Meadowsweet Dairy LLC in New York, and that both Pennsylvania and New York allow raw milk sales, but adamantly oppose the sale of other raw dairy products. Evidently, he was making other things like cottage cheese, and I guess there are other things you can make out of milk, and he was selling these things, and that was not covered under this particular law.
Well, you can sell the cream. You can just skim the cream off, and I'm not sure that's covered under the milk laws.
Well, it says here Mr. Nolt was doing things the way his community has been doing it for generations, selling milk straight from his cows to those he knows. Mr. Nolt contends that the regulations have not been approved by the legislature and shouldn't apply to him because he is selling directly to consumers via private contracts that are outside the purview of the state. I think what he doesn't understand, Dave, is that the state has purview just about every little aspect of our lives because we have elected tyrants.
Well, and we passed that interstate tyranny clause.
Yeah. Exactly. All part of the Constitution of the United States, which is interpreted to mean just about every form of regulation you can think of. And it's federal regulation, Dave. I mean, these are federal laws, in some cases state laws.
Yeah, in this case it was a state law. You could say on the one hand he was selling without a permit, but that's not really an accurate statement. There are other people who sell without permits. If he was just selling without a permit, they would fine him. I mean, that would be the simple remedy. You fine a guy. He doesn't have the permit and the license to do the business that he's doing. On the other hand, the state of Pennsylvania hired an undercover microbiologist. Now, he didn't have to dress up as a bacteria or something, but he is an undercover person who purchased products and had to examine to see if there were bacteria in them or not. And that wasn't the basis of the arrest in this case. The basis of the arrest was simply that it was not pasteurized.
You know, it's amazing, Dave, how many tyrants love to frame people using these stings. And tyranny at its very, very, very worst, you know, when they're getting people on exchange of guns or exchange of some kind of food that isn't approved by some organization or some regulative agency of the government. And it's a shame to see that the government now is tyrannizing people right and left using stings. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about small-time farmers here, and the entire system is really set against small-time family farms. It's hard for small-time family farmers, folks, because of the regulations, the high-volume production that is done by the corporations, and, of course, the government subsidies and price controls that is provided the large corporations that run the large farms. So, effectively, the entire system has squeezed out the small-time farmer. In fact, a guy named Vincent DeMauro, who's professor of health and social policy at Johns Hopkins University, says the system of influence and control is highly skewed in favor of the corporate and financial system. And indeed, that's the way it is, Dave. I think the individual little family farmer has a hard time surviving, and certainly the fellow who's trying to sell the raw milk.
Every year we have the farm subsidy bill that comes before Congress after defense spending. It's one of the largest bills. It's a huge document. It's in several volumes. And the regulations in that book, although it says it represents the small farmer, it artificially increases the prices of ag products. I had a roommate in college who was from a dairy farm up in upstate Minnesota, and he was incredibly frustrated. We had a good year the year he was with me where we had a lot of calves. But they couldn't increase their milk production. They were not allowed by the law to increase their milk production. They would just as soon produce more milk and lower the price.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is called socialism, Marxism, communism, call it what you will. This is what runs the nation. And the goal, again, of a freedom-based system is to eliminate the price controls, to eliminate all government subsidies for agricultural industries. The goal is to get rid of all regulations. It is the regulations, it is the subsidies, it is the price controls that ruin a free market system. And certainly, although they might reward a few large corporations, because that's what fascism is all about, making sure that you've got enough government subsidies and controls to provide for large corporations and the success of large corporations, but the whole intention is to squeeze out the family farmer. The whole intention is to make sure that a farmer cannot be free to raise his own crops and sell for a profit. And Dave, you know, as long as we are taxing our people at a rate of 50% and placing price controls upon milk and then providing subsidies for these rich farmers, the small time farmer just will not survive in a system like that. So this effectively socialist system is there to, I think, eliminate an oikonomia or a family business. This is one reason why family businesses can hardly survive in the 21st century.
Well, if you think about it, if government would get out of the way, what would happen? Just take milk, for instance. Well, my guess is that production would go up, prices would go down. We would have fewer cheese giveaways to the elderly. But what we would have is a supply of milk at the grocery store that is less than the cost of a gallon of gas.
Yeah, and ultimately the products that will be sold will be driven by the market and not by whoever happens to be the fellow who's trying to regulate the eating patterns and the consuming patterns of a nation. David, you know, I think that raw milk is, for the most part, very healthy. I mean, we've already found many examples where things like RBGH, that's the genetically engineered bovine growth hormone, is really, you know, increases risks of breast and colon cancers in humans. And there are a lot of people are concerned about that, and they don't particularly want to be taking RBGH in their milk products.
Well, and that's just one application. So you can have organic milk products. That's something that a farmer could legitimately market.
Sure. And moreover, children fed raw milk apparently have more resistance to TB, scurvy, flu, diphtheria, pneumonia, asthma, allergic skin problems, tooth decay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, it seems to me it's It's hard to get raw milk. It's hard to buy it. You just can't run down to Safeway and buy a gallon of raw milk. Why? Because it's regulated out of existence in most states.
Let's face it. A gallon of raw milk will do less harm to your child than a liter of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a time of petty tyranny. We're going to give a few more examples of petty tyranny in just a moment when we return with more on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. In studio with me, Dave Buhner as well. Back on Generations, my friends, Kevin Swanson with you, talking about a regulated society. How do you like the Orwellian world you live in, something that did not exist a mere 150 years ago, my friends? Now, most of us have been the frogs in the slowly boiling water, and so, you know, we have no concept of what's happening. We are slowly being tyrannized to death and enslaved by an all-encompassing state, and yet most of us have no concept of what's happening to us. Well, Dave, it just happened in the area of light bulbs. Can you believe it? I mean, here we are broadcasting on an incandescent light bulb, and I just sure hope the light bulb police don't show up this morning to shut us down.
They'll take away your light bulb. They'll take away your raw milk. What will you be left with?
Oh, man, alive.
They'll probably take away your SUV, too.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're trying to do that out in the UK. There is a carbon credit rationing program that the Parliament is discussing even now as we speak. And I'm guessing that's probably come to America as well because, you know, you've got every single presidential candidate that's in the front running right now saying, hey, we've got to regulate everything possibly that we can get our hands on in order to protect the environment or keep this global warming thing from happening. And, of course, the global warming being the latest favorite means by which we're going to tyrannize society.
Yeah, and this on the eve of a whole bunch of scientists, over
31,000
yeah. scientists saying, we don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, carbon credits, they're going to, I guess what they'll do is they'll ration you X number of carbon credits. You know, you can take one plane ride, seven car trips, and you can fart, you know, 20 times or
That's
something.
That's racist.
In any given.
That's racist. There are certain ethnic foods that cause more carbon emissions than other.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to say it politely, yeah. Our friends south of the border are going to be discriminated against because yeah. of their cuisine. Yeah.
I guess so. Well, that's what the Parliament's doing out in England, and it's probably going to come here as well. Ladies and gentlemen, government regulating every single part of your life, are you ready for it? Dave, I think the reason people receive this thing is because they ultimately think there is security. I mean, you know, Big Brother knows best. Big Brother is going to control all aspects of our lives. We'll keep the carbon credit police at every home and every street corner, constantly regulating every part of society. And people embrace this sort of thing because they really do believe, I think, at the bottom of their hearts, that government is the savior, that government will preserve them from death or from destruction or from some horrible thing. When, in effect, what government's doing is destroying economies.
Well, they look back at history and they see that the blessings that large tyrannical governments have been to people. You remember that one government that helped? Oh, wait a minute. I got that wrong. Governments never helped people.
No, don't put it that way. Anyway, a couple other examples. Here's the Canton City Council proposing jail time for tall grass. Residents tired of that overgrown lot that resembles a mini jungle next door. The city wants to help by trying to put high grass violators behind bars. City Council wants to beef up existing high grass and weeds laws by making a second offense a fourth-degree misdemeanor, which is punishable by a fine of up to $250 and up to 30 days in jail. So, you know, another example of, and I've seen this as well. I think there's somebody in Utah, an old lady in Utah, was put in jail for having grass that got out of control.
But at the same time, in Switzerland, they're debating whether or not there should be a law protecting the rights of plants.
Yeah, yeah.
So should you mow them or should you protect them? See, it's a very difficult line to walk.
Ladies and gentlemen, was there ever a more important time for us to really get down and determine what the biblical approach is to the political scene? And I think now's the time. I mean, obviously, most churches refuse to go to the Word of God. Most Christians don't have any concept what the Word of God has to say about, well, just about anything. Dave, I remember a couple of years ago, I talked to a group of Christian kids, homeschool kids, on the issue of taxation. And the talk that I did was what the Bible says about taxation. Went through all the stuff the Word of God had to say about taxation, Old and New Testament. There's a great deal of information about taxes and how government should tax and what the limits should be upon taxation, et cetera, et cetera. And by the time I was all done, I had this little 17, 18-year-old girl just raised her hand in the front, and she said, you know, I've been attending a Christian church for 17 years out of my life, and I have never heard of any of these passages. I've never heard of these things in all my life. And what did I say? She says, you know, it sounds like to me like my church has been a little selective in terms of what they're teaching. And I said, well, yeah, maybe, but certainly we ought to be studying God's Word, since God's Word is there to equip the man of God for every good work, right?
Well, absolutely. I think we have some systems that are set up to isolate us from God's rules about taxation, about homosexuality, about other things, systems that would say that was for them and not for me, or other such systems. The problem is that we have left the Word of God for the wisdom of men. And I'm just sitting here with Paul and saying, yeah, where are the wise?
Yeah.
Where are the wise men of this age?
Yeah. And to the extent, my friends, that Christians refuse to bring the Word of God to bear on real issues of life, they're irrelevant to the discussion, and they will do nothing to salvage liberty. And Dave, I don't think that the solution is to go to an all-out anarchy or libertarianism, or a very self-consistent libertarianism, but rather to go to the laws of God that balance the one and the many. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is to balance the individual rights and the corporate system whereby we're all going to get along together. In other words, there is an appropriate role for government to organize society under a unit called the civil society. That's okay. It's okay for government to exist, but there has to be a balance between that and individual rights, the rights of individuals. And what man does is he constantly moves back and forth from the anarchy of the individuals to the tyranny of the corporate structure or the tyrannical state. And I believe, Dave, that it is the God who is the triune God, the one and the many. He is the ultimate one, and he is the ultimate many, is the one who can balance these things by means of his laws. And what you find in God's law and biblical law, Dave, is that biblical law does not regulate people to death. And that's the modern socialist, social planning, Orwellian worldview that's assumed by just about everybody who's attended public school for 22 years out of their lives, right? That's why you go to public schools. You get indoctrinated into statist ways of thinking, and you learn to trust the state and look to the state for regulation of all areas of your life. I mean, that's why you go to 22 years of public K-12 schools and public college. But biblical law doesn't tyrannize people. It doesn't want to create a tyranny. You have harsh punishments for some really serious crimes, all right? You get a few really serious crimes, and you have a harsh punishment for that. But if you can manage to avoid murdering and raping people and killing kids by drunk driving, you'll live in freedom in a biblical system. There will be no police state. There will be no, you know, regulative society. There will be no preemptive punishments, trying to punish somebody before they actually do something bad. And that, of course, is what regulation does.
Well, Kevin, we understood this at the turn of the century. That was when our national hymn, America the Beautiful, was written. Now, most people know that we have a national anthem. We also have a national hymn. And one of the verses of our national hymn in America the Beautiful is, "Thy law is liberty." We understood that God's law provides the maximum amount of liberty possible in a fallen world. It protects us from the bad guys from within, the bad guys from without, and gives us the maximum amount of freedom to pursue godliness, to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Ladies and gentlemen, we really need to get back to the standards of the laws of God contained in the Bible. And this is the fundamental basis of a biblical worldview. When we talk about a biblical worldview, we're saying we go to God for truth, for ethics, and to determine reality and destiny. We believe that God is center. God establishes our ethics, our truth, and our reality. That's basic to a God-centered Christian worldview. And so a very important part of that is to go to the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God have to say about alcohol, for example? The Bible doesn't outlaw alcohol. No way, Jose. Now, there were a lot of well-meaning Christians paving the way to hell in the first part of the 20th century that were fighting hard to prohibit alcohol. The Bible doesn't prohibit alcohol by a civil law. It just doesn't. But what does it do? It doesn't actually prohibit drunk driving per se. All right? Especially if you're drunk driving, say, in your own driveway or something like that. Certainly the Bible would not prohibit that. It wouldn't prohibit you doing that on your own property. It would not arrest you for being drunk. All right? That's not in the Bible. However, if you drunk drive and kill somebody, okay, and the Bible brings out the regulative law or the law relating to gross negligence in Exodus, if the bull is wont to push his horn, that is, he's done it in the past, and in the process he kills somebody, the owner of that bull is put to death, and that's the negligent law. So, Dave, I would say that the Bible very, very clearly presents a principle whereby a civil magistrate absolutely must put somebody to death if they kill somebody while drunk driving, especially if it has been shown to this guy that the bull has been wont to push his horn in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, talking about a biblical approach to civil law and regulative law, and what we find is the Bible does not regulate one's economic activities. However, it does provide some pretty harsh punishments when things get way out of control and you've got people killing others while drunk driving, murdering, raping, stealing, robbing banks, etc., etc. The Bible does have some pretty severe punishment for situations like that. Yet, today we live in a country where we have the highest incarceration rate in the world. Because there are a lot of these petty laws that are broken right and left across the country. And, by the way, we rarely put anybody to death for crimes like murder or killing somebody in the process of drunk driving. And those would be biblical laws. Now, Dave, I think we're probably shifting some people's worldviews here because they're used to regulative laws and they don't like these severe punishments for severe infractions of the laws of God. And yet, this is basically the system that the Bible provides, and this is the basis for a system whereby liberty will return to the modern world. And until we bring this system back, folks, we're not going to enjoy a system of liberty. We will see anarchy and tyranny continue in our country and other countries throughout the Western world. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations, and you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. If you like our discussions on a biblical worldview applied to all of life and the renewal of relationships, family relationships, marriage relationships, parent-child relationships in the modern world, then you might want to be a sponsor for this program. We're looking for 120 sponsors to keep us on the air. We've been broadcasting for 4 years, funding it through other sources. Now we need you to help us with this program. And if we can get 120 sponsors in the next 2 to 3 months, we can stay on this radio station. Right now, we are at 7 sponsors, so we've got 113 to go. If you can sponsor the program, we encourage you to call right now, 877-842-2432. Again, that's 877-842-2432. If you can sponsor this program, we'd encourage you to call right now, 877-842-2432. And again, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.